You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora koutou katoa, e whakarongo ana koutou, ki te reo irirangi, iwa tukouma rima, BFM, ko rahira ahau, ko te iwa karaka, I te ata, no mai haere mai, ki te hōtaka parakuahi. Welcome along to the 95BFM Breakfast Show. If you've just tuned in, it's gone 10 past 9, and we have got Paul Horan in studio. Morena, Paul, how are you?
I'm good, thank you for having me.
Hey, you're most welcome. We're chatting to you about a very exciting thing, funny as the story of NZ Comedy, which is this incredible documentary series about basically the history of comedy in New Zealand, which is, as we were just saying off mic, kind of an untapped history. We haven't really sort of seen a chronology of this before.
Yeah, that was the most fascinating thing. I set up the comedy festival, I set up the classic, I did, you know, I've been involved for a lot, but I learned so much. And it was amazing talking to comedians who've worked in the comedy industry for so long. They had no idea of their own history.
Yeah.
So I was going, oh, were you influenced by this person? They go, oh, who's that?
Wow.
And I just wanted to show them the back of my hand because it was so, there was so little of this stuff. So that was the thrilling thing, going through and kind of figuring out the story.
It's quite remarkable as well because it's so multifaceted. I think we sort of tend to think because we are young in a colonial sense as a country that our sort of histories are maybe limited or smaller, but that's just so not the case. There's so many layers to it, especially because we are an incredibly multicultural society now. The kind of comedy that gets made here is really specific to anywhere in the world. As you were saying, you have a huge part in this industry here. What is something that sort of stands out for you as being, I guess, kind of signposts of New Zealand comedy?
Well, I've lived in Australia for 15 years, pretty much in Melbourne, coming and going a lot. But the thing that really struck me, because we talked to 116 people, interviewed them, three cameras, the full kit and caboodle sort of thing. And so we went through this huge list of trying to get everybody we could. But the thing that really struck me was the future of New Zealand comedy, the rookies that are coming up now, the diversity of them is unforced and truly natural. This is a more diverse scene than London, than Edinburgh, than New York, and definitely more than Melbourne at the moment. I'm judging in the Fringe Festival at the moment in Melbourne, and 15% of the 22 acts that I'm going to go and see are white guys.
Wow, okay.
Whereas here, you could put on a, you could put on any kind of lineup in this city that's a fifth the size of Melbourne, and you could put up all women, all queer women, all sorts of different types of things.
Yeah.
And because it's non-subsidised here, you've got to remember there's no government funding in comedy in this country. So there's no quotas. There's no finger wagging of, you've got to have more women. Mm-hmm. It's actually the industry deciding, let's encourage these people. And it's awesome.
I didn't realise there was government funding overseas, is there?
Yeah, there is. Like the Melbourne Comedy Festival gets millions and millions.
Wow. Okay.
And the New Zealand Comedy Festival gets $40,000 from Creative New Zealand and the City Council. So that's how much they get. So
that's not a lot. It is remarkable as well because you see, well, I mean, we've seen it really recently with the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You get New Zealanders, as you're saying, young rookies going over to do their shows over there, and they're always so wildly popular.
Yeah.
You know, they really hit it big over there. What do you think it is about New Zealand comedy that strikes a chord internationally as well? Because it does seem to really resonate with people.
I think the big thing is representing yourself now. The thing is, when I recently worked on a, I also do script advising and things like that, and I sat down and here was a room almost entirely of brown women.
Yeah.
And I kind of, when I sat down at the table, I had to go, oh, hi, I'm Paul. I'm a white old guy. And made jokes about me being a white old guy. The thing is, too, I had to represent myself to those people. So when stand-ups go on stage, it's very similar. You have to kind of say, oh, this is who I am. And this is, and it's not kind of, when you're a trans comedian in Edinburgh, you go out with your fists up, kind of going, take me on. Whereas here, it's kind of going, there's such a diversity that you represent yourself and you're comfortable representing yourself.
Yeah.
Because you know that you're one of many parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I've really noticed with young comedians here is they kind of introduce themselves, but you kind of get into their mode,
mm-hmm.
and they represent who they are in a really remarkable way. And I think internationally, people are really responding to someone, oh, you're quite comfortable in your skin.
Yeah.
Or, gosh, you're a white person with brown friends.
Yeah.
How extraordinary.
Wow, that doesn't happen.
Or you casually drop that you're bi halfway through the conversation. It's kind of, there's a relaxedness
right.
with this because this, you know, it's not like you, yeah. So I think it's a lot more the way we represent ourselves and also to the current successes.
Mm-hmm.
Rose Matafeo, Taika, all of these people, there's a sense of self-esteem
mm-hmm.
about comedians in this country now. You know,
we take it seriously. You know, we kind of take comedy seriously, I think, is something that I've noticed increasingly, yeah. that we sort of respect our own sense of humour, I think.
When we were doing these interviews, one of the funniest things was talking to comedians about 10, 15 years ago about how they lied about being comedians at family barbecues. Oh, yeah, I'm a lawyer. Or I work in media.
Yeah.
But since 7 days, since all of these things have come on, being a comedian is okay.
Yeah.
And for the older comedians, this is enormous relief.
Yeah, totally. I found it really interesting watching the episode on Māori and Pacific comedians in New Zealand and the kind of ways that our histories of representation of Māori and Pacific Islanders in the media have shaped the kind of comedy we get. And it was interesting hearing a lot of contemporary comedians talking about the legacy of Billy T, who's one of our, you know, comedy greats, there's no doubt about that, and how he kind of paved the way for a really different take on how Māori were represented, but also then there are sort of problematic elements to how he was representing Māori too, and people are still unpacking some of that as well. I think, you know, you make a really good point that we have got this kind of incredibly diverse cast of people making work here, but then we still have that funny thing where you go, okay, but we're only allowed to have, you know, one really funny Māori comedian in the mainstream at a time. It's still a weird kind of mentality that seems to linger. How do you think we can kind of push through that, or how do you think comedians are pushing through that at the moment?
Well, this is one of the good things about having the extended interviews online, because especially when it's a Māori Pacific conversation, these things are very nuanced
mm.
and very people kind of going, I love this but I hate it, I'm mm-hmm. not too sure where I am with it. So with that's one of the reasons we wanted to put up all the extended interviews online, was to show that uncertainty.
Yeah.
I think in terms of representation, I think the mainstream, which is now collapsing,
mm-hmm.
that's the thing. Terrestrial TV is now collapsing and mainstream representation is becoming less and less of a thing. Online is where, and this is the thing, this is where, you know, Māori Pacific Island women in particular
mm-hmm.
online have dominated the space a little bit for the last couple of years. It's actually the white guys that are catching up with online comedy.
Absolutely.
When you look at Flat 3, when you look at Baby Mama's Club, when you look at Araha Bridge, you know, this is women from Asian and Pacific and Maori backgrounds who've kind of going, that's where I can tell my story without someone standing over me and telling me, no, do this. So they've dominated that space. And it's interesting now sitting, being a 50-year-old guy and catching up with my mates, and they're all going, oh, this online thing. We might have a bit of a crack. I'm going, oh, it might be too late.
You might
granddad.
Be running to catch up. Yeah, yeah. It is really amazing. Though, and as you were saying, all of the extended interviews are now up on NZ On Screen, and there is incredible like breadth of conversation that goes on here. You've yeah. got people who've been working in the industry for decades, you've got people who are like right off the bat fresh like talent right now, and I think it is amazing because the documentary itself, it does a really good job of creating these stories and kind of showing pocket histories of things, but as you were saying, these extended interviews allow you to kind of see different people's takes on these histories, you yeah. know, there's no definitive history really.
Well, this is, it's also to a bit of an out for me, because I've made this documentary series and I've done all that stuff, and now all of this stuff is up online. So if you don't like what I've done, you can now make your own.
There you go.
And this is the thing. There will be 160 hours of interviews up there in the end. And so people will be able to start to go in and find all of these things that I didn't find, because you can't. There was 4,500 pages of transcripts.
Far out.
And so we've reduced it down to just cutting out the toilet breaks and put them up online. And so people can now go in. And also there's a whole lot of people who are total legends.
Absolutely.
In all sorts of other areas. Like we talked to Arthur Basting, for example, who was the first guy to say the F word on New Zealand television.
What an absolute legacy to have.
The first on New Zealand.
Yeah. Wow. But he also wrote Tears by the Crocodiles, right? Yeah. Which is one of our greatest pop songs of all time.
That is a banger.
And you can't talk to Arthur without saying, oh, and you did that. You know Jenny Morris. And we were able to wander. And so they're quite kind of choppily done, but because we wanted to keep everything in.
Yeah, totally.
Because the thing is, with documentary making, usually it's an auteur area. So you do all of this stuff, and then I choose as a documentary maker what goes in, what goes out. Everything else goes on the cutting room floor and gets erased. But what we wanted to do was saying, hey, this is our thing. The taxpayer has paid for four cameras to shoot the legends of comedy and whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's put that all up online.
And people can kind of be the auteur themselves if
exactly.
they want to.
Yeah. In 30 years' time, someone will make an even better documentary than I did.
Fantastic.
And then also, too, then they can get the emails from comedians at 4 a.m, kind of going, why didn't you put me in more? So I'm quite happy to hand over the mantle of that.
Yes, well, I'm excited to be able to go and delve into these a bit more. If people want to go and check out all of these extended interviews, they're on NZ on screen at the moment, but you can also watch the documentary itself on TVNZ on demand, and I would totally recommend it. It is a really incredible bit of history that hasn't really been tapped before. We're going to play the Howard Morrison Quartet now, who gets a bit of a mention from quite a few comedians, particularly in the episode about Māori and Pacific Island comedy. This is a really fascinating song, Hoki Mai. What can you tell us a little bit about this?
This is a very contentious song because it is actually, the lyrics are actually very sad, and it's also a very meaningful song for the people who wrote it. But Howard was
It's about the Māori battalion coming back from the war, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I won't profess to be an expert there. But Howard was a showman, right?
Yeah.
And the show bands, the Maori show bands of the late 50s and 60s were extraordinary. Because you've got to remember, New Zealand thought of Maori as these rural people. And they were kind of, you know, the image in the Pākehā media was uneducated, rural, and a bit simple. And then all of a sudden, there's Howard Morrison in the best suit you've ever seen. And all the lads, and they could play music. Oh, my God, they could play. But they were sophisticated, and Howard was a babe.
Yeah, he's very handsome man.
So all of a sudden, the image of Maori, and for people of my mother's generation, goes from these rural people to hubba hubba. Here's this gorgeous man. And so anyway, and it's very much about the showmanship. So they pick up a lot of songs, traditional and stuff from the charts, and they make them of their own. Their version of Hoki Mai became a lot faster and a lot more kind of bit of a show number, bit
it's
of a party
upbeat.
Number.
Yeah.
And in later years, the Rosemary McLeod interview we did, she did a number of interviews, and she toured with Howard just at the end of his life. And she recounts a conversation where he was very regretful about this, the speed of it and mm-hmm. the almost silliness of this. I mean, having said that, it is an earworm of a song, and oh my God.
Yeah, good luck getting this one out of your head today, people. It is an amazing track, and it is an incredible story behind it, and there's plenty more gems like that to find in the Funny As Extended interviews. So thank you so much, Paul, for speaking to us this morning.
Pleasure.
Ahoki mai e ta mama, ki roto, ki roto. Inga, inga, e tu whera atu nei.
A kine
kapa, kapa mai, te haki, te haki. Ingarangi, runga o ti amanae.
te kapa kapa mai te haki ingarangi runga o ti amanae hoki mai hoki mai ki te wa kainga
ki te aha
kia tu tu ki te tu manako a ki te kapa kapa mai te haki Ringarangi, runga o ti amanae.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.